Just want to say real quick, Paul, I got your message, Paul, and I'll be getting back to you later today.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, well, let's turn to the book of 1 Kings, the first chapter. We were talking about conspiracy last week, and I've still got some more conspiracy to talk about. We'll look into the life, into the event, shall we say, of Adonijah, who is a son of David. But before I get into that, I should give you the definition of what a conspiracy is. The Bible uses that word, by the way. It isn't just something in the imagination. A conspiracy is real. And there are conspiracies going on even today against the kingdom of God. Somebody, one of the brethren here, used the term, I don't see, was it Triumph that used this term? I wrote it down, universal conspiracy against the sun. Who was it that used that term after the teaching last week?
It was my dad. You should join any minutes now.
Was it you?
No, it was my dad.
Oh, your dad. Okay. Yeah. I like that term. There is a universal conspiracy against the sun, against God. Amen. So let me give you the definition from the dictionary. Conspiracy, to make an agreement, especially in secret, to work together in harmony, to cooperate, to do something unlawful. Well, that's a pretty good definition. Let me read it again. To make an agreement, especially in secret, to work together in harmony, to cooperate, to do something unlawful. Now, we saw the conspiracy against Joseph. We saw Saul, shall we say, conspiring against David. And we saw Absalom. But let's look at another son, Adonijah. And I'll read a few verses here. We'll see how far we can go here with this. Let's try to get everything we can out of this. Amen. And chapter 1, 1 Kings, and probably start in verse 5. Well, the circumstances, of course, would be in the first four verses. David was old. I mean, they considered 70 years old. Amen? I'm really old if David was old. But I'm not handicapped like David was. He had lived a hard life out there in the battlefield and running, and he just lived a very hard life, and I think it really took a toll on his body. And he was come to the place where he couldn't get warm, so they found a little Shulamite girl that she was supposed to minister to him and keep him warm and sort of be his nurse. So this is the condition that David was in. And Adonijah decided he was going to take advantage of this. All right. So verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now, let me stop right here so we can see who this Adonijah is. By the way, reading through 2 Samuel and the first part of 1 Kings, I don't know, maybe you're smarter than I am, but I remember I had to read through these things to get these names straight, to figure out who was what and who was doing what and what their role was. I don't know, I think I had to read this probably 6 or 7 times before I finally had it figured out. Maybe because these names were unusual to me. You know, I guess I could say in my culture, people like to take some of these Old Testament names and give their children, you know, Eli and Abner well, I don't know anybody named Absalom, never did, so apparently that was not, nor this Adonijah, never heard anybody by that name. But a lot of Christians like to take these names. But let me go back and we'll discover who this Adonijah was. Chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. Okay, this is David now. He's finally come to where he's king in Hebron. Okay, it says here, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Praise the Lord. House of David is the house of God. House of Saul is the house in this condition, a house in rebellion against God. So there was a long war, there was a long conflict, all right? But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So this was a transition that was happening, okay? And unto David were sons born in Hebron. And his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. Now, let's take a minute to discover who this Amnon is. Amnon was the oldest one, and he's the one that arranged this little tryst with his sister Tamar, and he had a friend that told him how to do it, and he forced his sister. Now, this sister, Tamar, happened to be a full sister of Absalom, half sister of Amnon. And Amnon, of course, was the one that Absalom killed. He arranged a little gathering of all the sons of the king and just plain had him killed. And for that, Absalom was sent away to his grandfather out there in, where is it, Geshur, I guess. So you know the story there. All right, so the first one was Amnon. All right, his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. So this Chileab, his translated name is Daniel, and we never hear any more about this fellow. Okay, he must have been a decent man. There's nothing bad, nothing good said about him. And if I were to say anything about the women, I would say Abigail, she would be my favorite. I just like Abigail. I mean, she, look what that poor woman came up with. She was married to a terrible man. How she ended up married to him, I don't know. Might have been some arranged marriage or something that she had to go into, but she was just married to a terrible, hateful man. And when David and his men who were running from Saul, when they came into the territory, David asked her husband, "Hey, can you guys help us out? We're pretty hungry, and Saul is chasing us." And the man was just incorrigible. He was just, and so on the sly, Abigail heard about it, and she said, "Well, if we don't give these guys something, they're going to come and take it. And it's not going to go well for us." So she secretly sent lots of food to David. And when her husband heard about it, he died. I mean, he had a stroke. He was so angry. It just blew the blood vessels of his brain. And that was it for the man. So when David heard that he was dead, he fetched her and made her a wife. Now, I'm not condoning David collecting wives, by the way. You know, it was well to take care of her, but he didn't need to make six wives. In fact, He actually, by the time he left Hebron, he had seven. Saul's daughter, who Saul took away from him, she was off somewhere else, married to some other guy. Eventually, David did fetch her, and but she never had any children. All right, let's go on. And the second was Chileab, or Daniel, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. The third was Absalom. All right, so Absalom really wasn't the eldest son, but he was the second. Now that he had killed the firstborn, Amnon, because of his rape and incest of the sister. All right, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Tamar, king of Geshur. So his mother was not even an Israelite. Now let's take a few others. And the fourth was Adonijah. Now this is the one we're going to talk about today. Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth was Shephatiah, the son of Abtal. The sixth was Ithream, by Igliad, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. All right, I just went over the list so you know that there were, in this passage, six wives and six children. Two of them had already died. And now let's look at the conspiracy here. Back to 1 Kings. It says, and Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, I don't know what there is about this 50 men thing, but this is exactly what Absalom had done. Come on, Adonijah. Don't you know anything about your family history? Don't you know how it turned out for Absalom when he got 50 men and tried to proclaim himself king? Well, he actually took control there for a while. David had to flee across the Jordan, and but how did it turn out for Absalom? Well, he got his head caught in a tree, his hair got tangled up, and Joab came and finished him off. So Adonijah, don't you understand this isn't going to work out? So, okay, 50 horsemen to run before him and make the proclamation. Wonder how they would do that today. Would he put it out on Facebook or something and have his 50 followers on something on the internet? I don't know how we do it today, but people seem to round up a lot of followers in these ways. All right, and his father had not displeased him. That means disciplined him. His father had not disciplined him at any time in saying, why has you done so? And he also was a very goodly man. Now that word goodly means good looking. All right. Same thing that was said about Absalom. A good-looking fellow, charming, good with his words, had a smooth talk about him. Amen. Goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Now, this is not the same mother. In other words, he was born after Absalom was born. Okay? And he conferred. Now here's the conspiracy. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohilah, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Okay, let's look who was involved in this thing. On Adonijah's side was Joab. Just in case you don't know, who was Joab? How many of you know who Joab was? Joab was the commander in chief of the army. He was the head general, whatever term you want to use. I don't think the Bible uses the term general, but that's what he was. He would be the Eisenhower of World War II, the man in charge, okay? And now, Joab, let's look at loyalties. Joab had been loyal to David during the time of Absalom's rebellion. But there were things that happened to Joab after that he began to turn. For instance, David wanted to make peace with Abner. Abner was Saul's chief general, you might call him, or whatever term you want to use. And then there was this man, Amasa, who had also been temporarily an enemy of David, and David wanted to make peace. And David would have made peace. But what did Joab do? He killed him right there in cold blood. Killed him right there. And there was nothing David could do about it. So, all right, we have Joab. Now, Abiathar the priest. What do you know about Abiathar the priest? What happened to the 70 priests when Saul came to Nob, the city of the priests? How many of them got killed? 70. 70 of that family died because Doeg the Edomite was willing to do it at Saul's command. But who escaped? The one priest escaped, Abiathar escaped. Now, during the rebellion, here again we have a story of loyalty. During the rebellion of Absalom, Abiathar and Zadok worked in agreement, and their sons, Jonathan and what was the other one's name, the young fellas, they all worked together to defeat Absalom and to support David in all this. Now, this priest is no longer loyal to David. He's gone over to the other side. He's decided that he knows best. He knows better than God. He's going to bring this son, Adonijah, into the kingship. All right, Joab, Abiathar. Who else was invited to the party? His brothers. So we see there were other brothers. We don't know if there were more than the six that were listed in the beginning of 2 Kings. There might have been more born, but anyway, these were invited. Which brother wasn't invited? Wonder which one. Solomon. Now, why didn't he invite Solomon? What did Adonijah know that he wouldn't invite Solomon? I think he knew that David intended that Solomon would be the king after him. In fact, I think it was God's will that Solomon would take the throne after David. All right, so who else was invited? 50 men, of course, were invited. And it says the men of Judah. So he had a bit of a crowd there. He had a big party. They were celebrating. They were having barbecue, beef, and lamb. And they were really having a good time proclaiming Adonijah to be the king. All right, who wasn't invited? Let's look at the list of who wasn't invited. Well, Zadok wasn't invited. Who was Zadok? Zadok was the priest. And by the way, Zadok came from the line of Eleazar, whereas Abiathar came from the line of Ithamar. So go way back to the sons of Aaron. Different line, Zadok. Benaniah wasn't invited. Now, Benaniah, I don't know what he was, shall we say he was a general, but he wasn't the general over the whole army. I would call him the head of the Secret Service, the head of the men that kind of guarded the king. And he's a man who became the general after the commander in chief. He became that after Joab. All right. Who else wasn't invited? Well, Nathan the prophet wasn't invited. I wonder why Nathan was left out. Okay. Shimei and Rei, I didn't look up who they were. They were apparently some of David's mighty men. They weren't invited to the party. Who else wasn't invited? Well, Solomon and his mother wasn't invited. By the way, Abiathar's son, Jonathan, apparently wasn't invited either. And he's the one that came and told the party what was going on back in David's place. All right. And David himself wasn't invited. Now, whether he was capable of moving, whether he, I kind of think that he wasn't in very good shape. And I don't think they had wheelchairs in those days. David wasn't invited. All right, let's go on. Verse 10. But Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, that's his mother, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? So we've got two kings going on here now. He proclaimed himself, self-proclaimed king. How does self-proclaimed kingship work? Doesn't work out too good, does it? Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel. So the prophet is going to give counsel to Bathsheba. All right, let me give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. By the way, this is not just making things up. Nathan knew that their life really would be in danger. If Adonijah came in, he was going to get rid of anybody that he perceived to be in competition with him. All right, which means that he knew what God's plan was, and he was purposely going against it. All right, now verse 13: Get thee and go and get thee in unto the king David, and say unto him. Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Now, we don't find anywhere where it is given that David made that proclamation to Bathsheba. But it says it here. Nathan knew it. Bathsheba knew it, so therefore it is true. David had made that promise, and I believe that God had revealed that to David. Okay? Therefore, why doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. So Nathan is kind of setting up the stage here. You go in first. And while you're still there, words hardly out of your mouth, I'm going to come in and confirm what you're telling David. Now, I don't know. they had some very formal ways of approaching kings in those days. If my wife wanted to come in and see me, she was probably already in the room. But I don't know where Bathsheba must have lived somewhere else, she had to make a special appointment to come in and see David, and he had all these people there saying who could come and who couldn't come, right? And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber. Now, the old fellow must have kept himself in bed most of the time. It says into the chamber, okay? And the king was very old. No, he was only 70, but his body was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance, okay? She did homage to him, okay? Unto the king, and the king said, "What wouldest thou? What do you want?" And she said unto him, "My lord." Oh dear, not dear husband, but my lord. Very formal here. And she said unto him, "My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen and cattle and sheep in abundance." In other words, he's made a big party, a big, what do they call it? What was the term for when Trump became president? Or no, not ordination, coronation, inauguration. Yeah, coronation. But this is king coronation, we'll call it. And hath called all the sons of the king. So there were other sons, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. In other words, we're going to be killed. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. I think Nathan had, I think he had a permanent ticket to come in anytime he wanted to. I don't think anybody was going to stop Nathan from coming in. When the guards that were standing around watching, they saw Nathan come, they just waved him on in. "Go ahead, sir. You go in anytime you want." So Nathan came in, all right? And they told the king, saying, "Behold Nathan the prophet." And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Well, he still had to go through that ritual. Amen. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on thy throne? For he is gone down this day." Amen. Okay. "And he has gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the king's sons and the captains of the host." By the way, that must have included the king's daughters too, because there was more daughters than Tamar. There's a verse somewhere that said that all the king's daughters would wear a certain kind of style of clothes. So I know that there were others, okay? All the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Is this something you did? We never knew anything about it, David. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. So apparently Bathsheba had to leave the room when Nathan came in, and she surrendered her place. Okay, Nathan, it's your turn. Now David said, bring her back in. Well, I don't think she was very far out in the court. Bring Bathsheba back in. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swear and says, as the Lord, he's swearing again. As the Lord liveth that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord the king live forever. Well, he isn't going to live forever. He doesn't have long to go yet. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, the head of my secret service, amen, the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. His own mule. Everybody knew David's mule. I don't know what was so special about that mule. Maybe he was a white mule or something. Anyway, Solomon was to ride that mule, okay? And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. How much different is this anointing than the one that Adonijah? Who was the prophet that anointed him? Well, he had a priest there, but he didn't have a prophet. And there's nothing about pouring oil on him and anointing him in the name of the Lord. But that's what's going to happen for Solomon. Amen. Anoint him king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet. Oh, we're going to have a trumpet here too. Amen. And say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. You know, they're still using the double term here, Israel and Judah. You know, the day is going to come after Solomon that there will be two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. All right, let's go on. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God, my Lord, the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. Well, that prophecy did come true. The throne of Solomon was greater. Amen. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. Oh, this is a good combination. The prophet and the priest. Amen. You know what? Jesus is the prophet and the priest, isn't he? We've got it all in him. The prophet and the priest. And Benaniah, the military man. The man with the power. The man with the, well, he has the power to make it happen. The son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gishon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle. Hey, this is consecrated oil right from the tabernacle. Amen. And anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with sound of them. Well, what does that mean? The earth, it says literally, the earth was split with the sound. So they weren't quiet about it. They weren't secret about it. They were out in the open. Now, Adonijah's thing was secret. They weren't going to let David know. They weren't going to let Nathan know. They weren't going to let Zadok know. Amen? All right. Now, what's happened? And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him, all his party that were with him, heard it. And they had made an end of eating. And when Joab, oh, his conscience has got to be pricking him about now. And Joab heard the sound of the trumpet. He said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan. Now, I'm gonna give a little plus here to Jonathan. Jonathan is Adonijah's son, but Jonathan wasn't at the party. Jonathan knew his father was in the wrong place. Amen? Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, his father said to him, come in, for thou art a valiant, no, wait a minute, not his father, I mean Adonijah, the son of David, said to him, okay, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings. Amen. Thou art a prominent man. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, somebody needs to mute here. Yeah, Paul, go ahead and mute if you would, please.
Oh, sorry.
And Adonijah answered and said, or Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, the son of David. Remember now, I had to go through this about seven times a few years ago till I got this right. Jonathan said to Adonijah, the son of David, okay, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Perizzites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Geshur, in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again, this is the noise that you have heard. What's it doing to Adonijah's party? Can we call it raining on his party? Big time. The man is in big trouble. Big trouble. And also Solomon sitteth upon the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than the name, thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also, thus saith the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes, even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose and went every man his way. The party broke up in a hurry. They were afraid that Benani was on his way with his troops, and they didn't want to be caught. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and rose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon, for lo, he has caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword." What is there about this catching hold of the horns of the altar? Apparently, the man thought that if he had a hold of the horns of the altar, nobody would dare to kill him. How long was he prepared to stay holding on to those horns? I mean, after a few days, he was going to get tired there. Something was going to happen, all right? And Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of his head, hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die." So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to Solomon, and Solomon said, "Go to thy house." Now, by the way, that wasn't the end of Adonijah. After Solomon was king, he was still working on a plan. And he secretly went to Bathsheba and said, "Well, Bathsheba, you know, the little Shulamite girl, what was her name again? I'm trying to find that Shulamite girl's name.
Abishai.
Abishai, yeah. I'd like you to ask Solomon if I can have her as a wife." And when Bathsheba went to Solomon, asked him, Solomon said, "He's up to no good. That's it. He's finished." And he had him killed because he was planning another conspiracy. He thought if he could worm his way in like that, he could probably find a way to take over and throw Solomon off. So he finished. Now, David has come to the end of his life, okay? And before David goes, he gives charge to Solomon. All right, he said, "Solomon, I'm on my way. I'm out of here. I don't have very many hours to go, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of Joab. He's got blood on his hands, innocent blood. And he said, I want you to take care of it. I'm not able to do it in my lifetime, but that's one of the things you're going to have to do. And I want you to show kindness to the sons of Barzillai." And Barzillai is the man that was very kind to David when he was fleeing from Absalom. David is saying, "I want you to take care of that man and his sons. They're good people. Take care of them." Now, here's another guy I want you to take care of, Shimei. He's the guy that threw stones at me and cursed me when I was fleeing from Jerusalem. Cursed me royally. I let him live. But Solomon, even up that score, would you? And so David slept with his fathers. Now, I'm not going to go much further. I'm not going to read the part about Adonijah, but I want to read the part. Oh, the priest, all right? Abiathar the priest, disloyal. Let me read that. That's verse 26 of chapter 2, 26. And unto Abiathar the priest, this is the priest who, remember, the priest from the family of, I'm going to call him Abijah. The priest of the family of 70 that were slain, all right? He was the one son that escaped. He was loyal to David during Absalom, but disloyal during the rebellion of Adonijah. All right? And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. All right, so he's giving him a pardon, okay? And now Joab. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of David, and caught tabernacle of the Lord, and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Now, he figures, all right, Adonijah got off without being killed that time. Maybe I can get away with it. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he was by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. And by the way, do you know who Joab was? Do you know how he was related to David? He was his nephew. They would call him Joab, the son of Jeruah, I believe it is. David's sister. Three of David's men. What was it?
Zeruiah,
yeah. Three of David's men, Joab and two others, his nephews, were all part of David's army. Now, Joab is the last one of the three now, all right? Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go and fall upon him. And Benaniah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die here. And Benaniah brought the king word again, saying, thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, do as he said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab said, shed from me, and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he. That he's referring to Abner and Amasa, the two military men that one had been with Saul, amen, and slew them with a sword, my father David, not knowing whereof, to wit, Abner the son of the captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jephthah, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room or in his place over the host, and Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And then there's the story of Shimei. And the Lord and the king gave Shimei an opportunity also. He's the one that cursed David and threw stones at him and did in no way tried to help him. So he said, Shimei, build a house right here in town. And he said, and stay there. If I ever hear that you leave town, you're a dead man. Oh, Shimei said, oh, good deal, great, wonderful idea. Well, the time came that Shimei had a couple of servants. They were probably slaves. And these two men left town and got away. And Shimei knew where they were. And guess what he did? He left town and he went after them. And Solomon said, all right, you agreed that if you were ever leave Jerusalem, you're a dead man. And that was the end of Shimei. Now, that's all I'm going to say about Adonijah. Did not work for him. But let's ask another question. How was it that all this trouble and all this rebellion in David's house, why did this have to happen? Why did this come upon him? Was all this necessary? Help me out here. Why?
It was probably because of Bathsheba and having her husband killed and all that stuff.
Thank you, Mike. You put your finger right on the spot. So now I'm going to give you the word to prove what you just said. I've got it written down here. Oh, here it is. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. Now Nathan comes to David after his sin with Bathsheba. All right? Bathsheba is with child and or has the child been born already? I'm not sure. But anyway, Nathan came to David and told him the story, kind of a parable, about a rich man that had lots of sheep and a poor man neighbor that had only one little favorite ewe lamb. And he got guests and he wanted to have lamb chops to serve to the guests. And guess where he got the lamb? From his neighbor that had only one. And he took the lamb. And David said, that man deserves to die. I mean, he needs to be judged by the man. All right, now let's start with the word of Nathan here in verse 7. Well, verse 6, 5, we'll go to 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done that thing shall surely die. Well, David, you're pronouncing death upon yourself. Amen? And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. Man, I like that. I like that. Fourfold restoration. Anybody that steals anything from you? Why don't we have that law today? Maybe 7 times, okay? That should cure a lot of thievery going on. Anyway, fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David sees it clearly. Now, start in verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. I can see that finger. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel. Listen to this. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house. Amen. And thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. This is an amazing statement. I gave you all this. Wasn't that enough? If it wasn't enough, I would have given you more. What kind of a God is this? Well, but it was enough. Amen. Wherefore, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon, the Ammonites. You know, the Ammonites come from, they were the children of Lot. Okay? So they were cousins, but they were enemies. Amen? Now, therefore, now here's the word, here's the prophecy. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Starts with Absalom. Oh, what a sword that was. What a terrible bloodshed battle that was. Chasing David off into the wilderness. Adonijah. Oh, we forgot the first son that's slain by his brother because he forced his sister. I mean, come on, this is three of his children already in the house of David. Therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. This is what Absalom did on the very top of the house in view of all who were within sight. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Now, could David be forgiven for this sin? Yes. It says, and David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And so the child died. But God used Bathsheba to bring forth Solomon. Who is a God like this? Who can know this God? I mean, he kills Bathsheba's child because it was conceived in sin. He couldn't have that child be the greatest king of all Israel because of the background. Did he forgive David? Yes. Did David sin again? Yes. He did. Did he get forgiven again? Yes, he did. Did David being forgiven, did it nullify the prophecy that God said was going to happen? No, it didn't nullify it. The word of the Lord was still the word of the Lord. That's the way it's going to be. Well, I had some other conspiracies I was going to talk about from the prophets, but I think I'll finish it with this, just with Adonijah today. Oh, there's so much here to study. There's so much detail here in the life of David. So many names, brethren, they're unfamiliar names to me. And you really have to almost write these down to keep track of who's who, unless you know these names. But there's a lot of knowing our God. Let me shut the recording off here.